Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue our series, New York 51, Life and Politics in Every Neighborhood, in which we're interviewing all 51 members of the New York City Council in this mayoral election year to expand democracy, hear what issues are burning in every neighborhood in the five boroughs, whether the media usually report them or not, and maybe to have some fun along the way. My guest today is Miguel Martinez, elected from District 10 on what you might call Manhattan's upper East Side. Councilman, welcome to WNYC today.
Thank you, and it's the upper West Side.
Upper West Side?
Yes.
Well, okay. So tell us, the first thing we're doing with all the council members in this series is asking you to put all the neighborhood names in New York City out on the radio. So what are all the neighborhoods that exist in whole or in part in your district?
Well, I represent the Washington Heights, Inwood and Marble Hill community in northern Manhattan that expands a little into the Bronx, which is the Marble Hill community, a diverse and culturally rich community.
Okay, and just to get the Manhattan map straight, your district does run along the Harlem River, which is the east side, and Councilman Jackson's district runs along the Hudson River on that same stretch, which is more the west side, yes?
Correct. I mean, basically the border of Broadway divides both districts between Councilmember Robert Jackson and I. We represent the entire northern Manhattan community from 155th all the way up to 225th Street.
Right. So from 155th Street, northeast of Broadway is your district. How heavily Dominican is that district today?
Well, 87% of the population in my district is Latino. I would say of the 87%, a good 70% will be Dominican descent.
And how is that changing in recent years? Is it changing fast in any direction?
Oh, it's changing very fast. As a result of the rent decontrol apartments in many of the Upper West Side community, we've seen new neighbors moving into the community where rent for those income bracket are cheaper rather than paying such high rents are moving up to the northern Manhattan community. And not just to the west side of Broadway area, the Cabrini, Fort Washington area, but we're seeing a large number of new neighbors moving into our community in the area of Inwood, especially, where we have beautiful apartment, where we have beautiful parkland and river waterfront properties.
And how about within the Latino community? Is it becoming more diverse? Are you getting more people from Mexico, from Latin America?
Yes, we already have a diverse Latino community in terms of Mexican, Ecuadorian, Colombian, Peruan that live in the community. And the Mexican community continues to increase in terms of population in northern Manhattan community.
Now, it was written up in the newspaper recently that you took Manhattan Borough President Virginia Fields, who, of course, is running for mayor, on a trip to the Dominican Republic. Is that right?
Yes, we took a trip to the Dominican Republic where we went there to distribute calcium pills to prevent the children from being born with lead poisoning in communities where there's a high concentration of contaminant of lead.
And what did you want to show the borough president there? I mean, obviously, by the conventional wisdom, her base in this Democratic primary is more African-American, and Fernando Ferrer's base is more Latino. Obviously, there's an attempt to reach across those lines by the borough president by traveling with you to the Dominican. What did you want her to see there?
Well, you know, the borough president has vast knowledge of the Dominican community. However, important to have individuals who want to represent the city, especially the Dominican community, to travel to the Dominican Republic and learn more of the culture, learn more of the arts, learn more of you know, the hard-working men and women that want to migrate to the United States to improve their lives. And in the Dominican Republic right now, they're going through a tremendous economic hardship, and it is important to see why so many Dominicans want to migrate to New York City and look for opportunities of growth, opportunity for their families, especially in the area of education, knowing that right now in CUNY, out of every three students, two will be of Dominican descent or Dominican-born. And it is important to see for individuals to learn that, you know, Dominicans are want to migrate not just for pleasure, but more because of the need of wanting to improve their life through education and hard work.
So the issue there is to make any mayoral hopeful more sympathetic to the need for more immigration?
The need more sympathetic for more immigration services in the city of New York, especially in the area of legalization and in the area of tuition for those students who may be undocumented and are now graduating from high school to the universities. The need to have those individuals also have access to financial assistance. The same is true in the area of city services for undocumented and documented immigrants in the city of New York.
So make the case for our listeners, in a city that faces long-term structural deficits and that has so many poor people already, you're talking about the need rather than just the want for people in desperately poor conditions in the Dominican to come here in even larger numbers and to get even more government assistance. How can the city sustain that, those increasing numbers, over the long term?
Oh, no, we're not advocating for the city to open its door for to become the borders or to become INS in issuing visa and green cards. What we're saying is that what we need the city is to continue to provide comprehensive services that will empower individuals to become self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not good enough just to say that individuals are out of the welfare roll, but what are those individuals doing now? Are they currently working? Are they going to school? Are they becoming productive members? Are they paying taxes? And if we have a comprehensive program in the city that enable individuals to become self-sufficient, I think that the city will become a better city and less deficits in the outer years. But when we have programs that don't, in other words, in my district right now, we're seeing something that we haven't seen in a long time, and that's a lot of people, homelessness, sleeping in city parks and in our streets. And I think that we have to relook at what kind of services and how those services are being efficient and effective in our city and our communities. So when we take trips to the Dominican Republic, we're taking trips with officials so that they can comprehend and understand that when we have programs that empower individuals, such as allowing them to go to the universities, such as putting comprehensive workforce development programs in communities with high unemployment, then we have a city that is empowering citizens and making people self-sufficient. We're not advocating for the city to provide more services and have people live off city services and subsidies. What we're saying is let's have a city that will empower and make individuals self-sufficient.
City Councilman Miguel Martinez from District 10, in Washington Heights and Inwood and Marble Hill and East Harlem, my guest on WNYC in our series New York 51, in which we're inviting all 51 members of City Council to put the issues from their neighborhoods on the table in this mayoral election year. Did you say that two-thirds of all CUNY students are or will be Dominican?
Currently, according to the statistic we have and serving on the Higher Education Committee, what we've been informed and the studies that demographic studies in CUNY, it shows right now that two out of every three students in CUNY right now is either Dominican born or of Dominican descent, either a parent or mother.
That's quite a bit. And what do you think of the changes in CUNY in recent years when they cut down on the remedial programs that were available to students in the four-year CUNY schools and track more of students who needed remediation coming out of high school into the community colleges, made some other changes. There's a lot of good press that CUNY is getting these days about it having raised standards and still being a gateway for anybody who wants to come through the community colleges if they graduate high school in New York City. But the four-year schools kind of being better off for the changes that were made under Mayor Giuliani. What do you think?
Well, I think that the chancellor has done an excellent job at reforming CUNY and also setting standards, not only for CUNY, but also at our high schools, setting standards that made the high school step up to the plate and challenge our students and prepare our students for the universities. And the same is true in terms of preparing the community colleges to get our students, those who are not prepared for 4 years, to acquire the skills necessary to enter a four-year university. And as a result of that, we've seen how CUNY is competing with some of the Ivy Leagues, not only in the four-year, but also in the graduate programs. And the enrollment has consistently gone up in CUNY. The international studies program has become one of the most prestige programs. And I think that the university continues to strive and show that the city university, the public university, continue to be the place of opportunity for immigrants, for working class in the city of New York.
So what do you think the rising enrollments tell you and the increasing immigrant percentage of students? There was a lot of controversy at the time that the recent changes were implemented, including higher tuition, that said this is going to lock out as much diversity as we were having. This is going to lock out many poor people from being able to go to college. Do you think none of that actually turned out to be the case?
Well, remember that at the same time, the city council has continued their commitment, our commitment, with the Vallone Scholarship, which is a scholarship that provides scholarship money for students from the diverse communities in the city of New York. The same is true that we continue to fight the federal government for additional the tuition assistance program. And the fact that even though standards have been raised and tuition have increased, our colleagues in Albany had stood their ground in terms of fighting the governor's proposal that will definitely bring hardship to students when their financial aid is held until they graduate from the universities. And I think that many of the programs that we are fighting for to ensure that students have access to the university are important. Because remember, CUNY continues to be the public city universities, and the tradition of CUNY is to provide opportunities through education. And in fact, many other immigrant groups that were here before the current wave of Latino and other immigrants that are now the majority of immigrants in the city of New York had access to CUNY. We must continue to have those doors open for generations to come.
I'm probably going to be interviewing CUNY Chancellor Matthew Goldstein later this week. What's the most important question that I could ask him?
Well, I think that the chancellor needs to address the issue of diversity in the staff of CUNY. CUNY staff and from their teaching personnel to administrative personnel need to be reflective of the majority of those who make the composition of the student of CUNY. Right now, it is difficult to say how many. It's hard to say that most of the tenured professors at the university are non-minority Latinos professors. The same is true that when we look at the composition of the administration, I could only say that we have one vice chancellor of African American descent, and the lowest paid, by the way. And those are issues that needs to be addressed.
And how do you think that is harming the education of students of color?
Well, I think that when you enter a classroom and you see someone that had your experience, that looks like you, understands your language, and also can share his or her experience, it's also enriching for the learning environment. And when we have a university where most professors are non-Latino, African-American, that's an issue that needs to be addressed.
93.9 AM 820 WNYC. A few more minutes with City Councilman Miguel Martinez from District 10 in Washington Heights, Inwood, Marble Hill, in our series New York 51, Life and Politics in Every Neighborhood. Have you made an endorsement in the Democratic mayoral race?
No, actually, we're in the process, and we need to do it soon because petitioning, the circulation of petition for qualification of candidacy starts tomorrow. And right now, we are confident that Fernando Ferrer will be our candidate that we will be endorsing. And we will be circulating petition with Fernando Ferrer, and I think it's going to be an interesting year for us.
The city schools, as you know, the education department and Mayor Bloomberg were very elated the other day when the test scores came out showing such gains in fifth grade as well as some in third and sixth and seventh. Do you see that reflected in your district?
Well, it is a shame when we're using our kids, children's education for political gains and to illustrate that not showing the real facts. And the real fact is that many of the students who didn't who passed the third grade last year didn't do well on the exam this year on the fourth grade. The same is true that many of our children do not have in my district updated books. The same is true that there's a frustration in terms of the bureaucracy that the different school district and region in this case have become. It is difficult for parents to have access to information. It is difficult for us when we want to call for a superintendent to find out who is the superintendent in charge or to deal with the system. And I think that we need to look at the reality of what's actually happening. It's become a system where one person dominates, where everybody responds just to the mayoral staff and not community-oriented education system.
In our last minute or so, we're asking all the members of City Council to tell people if they want to be tourists in your district, what would you take them to see?
I would take them to see our restaurants. First, we have excellent restaurant, Malecón, the Conde Steakhouse. We'll take them to our parks. We'll take them to our cultural facilities and non-for-profit organizations that continue to become the energy of our community through the different programs that they provide. And definitely a tour of the entire community to look at an energized community with a lot of entrepreneurial activism.
Malecón, that Spanish restaurant in the Bronx up about 230th and Broadway, is that that?
That one is Caridad. Malecón is on 175th and Broadway. The same is true with Coogan, our famous Coogan restaurant on 168th and Broadway. The same is true with our many lounges that we have in our area, such as Umbrella Lounge and Ambar Room, to have the culturally diverse music and especially playing the merengue in the evening.
And that is where we have to leave it with City Councilman Miguel Martinez from District 10, Washington Heights, Inwood, Marble Hill in the Bronx, in our series New York 51, Life and Politics in Every Neighborhood. Councilman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. New York City.